When I was a kid in Seattle, like Pam was, one of our favorite comics was The Far Side, which was a very funny comic. It was always a little off-center. It was a comic that was drawn by a herpetologist, failed herpetologist from the University of Washington, Gary Larson, who became much more famous for his cartoons and the study of snakes. However, he liked to sort of do cartoons about scientists and scientists talking to each other. And one of the cartoons of his that I always liked was you have these two scientists in white lab coats standing in front of a chalkboard. There's a very complicated mathematical formula on one side, very complicated mathematical formula on the other side of the blackboard, and then there's a big question mark in the middle. And one scientist is pointing and saying, and this is where the magic happens. And sometimes I think that when we're studying human rights, especially trying to understand the links between early discussions of human rights in the 1930s and 1940s, and then the full-blown human rights regime of the contemporary period, we are presented with some very complicated formulae at the beginning and a very elaborate formulae at the end, and we've got this big chunk in the middle where the magic happens, where we don't have a lot of understanding yet. We don't understand the history of that moment, these transitions, and so on. Of course, the Moyne thesis is one of those attempts to answer that question by essentially negating forms of connection. And I think that we've seen here today is the possibility that, yes, there is something valuable in that, but that there are other forms of connection available to us to think about. I mean, Silvana, for example, is talking about a very profound feminist contribution, which didn't just emerge in 1945. It's part of a longer-standing tradition that saw itself in dialogue with human rights, but also with feminism and emancipation and suffrage, I would imagine, but also with the distinct political dialectics of Latin and South American politics. We also saw in Linda's discussion today about the question of religious freedom in the Universal Declaration, this very interesting confrontation is probably not the right word, but at least a shadow of Western missionary penetration of the Islamic Middle East coloring some of that discussion. Well, that's something that predates the Universal Declaration as part of a lot of the Ottoman Empire's anxiety about foreign missionaries in the Ottoman Empire, right? So there's this kind of residues and shadows of the future that are informing these human rights discussions. So the same with Glenn's discussion, where you have long-standing American civil society organizations who have been inclined towards rights discussions domestically, becoming very engaged with rights discussions internationally and expressing a great deal of fear. But this, you know, that again, we always have to understand that origins are not causes, but there's something happening. There's magic happening in there somewhere. And the ABA now is not antagonistic to human rights. Something happens somewhere along that path. And the NAACP doesn't have much of an international presence anymore. So there's a great deal left to try to uncover, and it's in particular in these places of articulation and connection in contemporary history. So what I would want to encourage people to think about is not just filling in the blanks in the specific period that you're working in, but understanding how that connects to what goes before and what goes after. And that's the natural expansion of a historical field, right? We understand this moment, and then we start paving out from it. And I know that's what I'm trying to do with my own work about humanitarianism and trying to understand how now there doesn't seem to be that much of a question that human rights and humanitarianism are linked. I mean, they seem to go hand in hand. Whereas in the interwar period, they were not connected. You know, how did this connection happen? And when I finish my book, I will tell you. I hope.
I'm done. I'm one of the social science infidels here, amongst all the civilized historians. And it occurred to me, I don't know when exactly it was today, maybe a couple hours ago, that I came to Davis on Tuesday night. Seems like a long time ago and not nearly long enough. But I gave a talk on Wednesday about environmental, my theory of environmental rights and environmental justice across generations. And I realized that I am very much engaged, and I argue in my book and in that article, in that paper, that it's very important that, that human rights pay attention to time. But my sense of time is about the future. My argument is that we have environmental human rights because future generations have environmental human rights, and we get them reciprocally from them, which makes it a justice relationship, because it's reciprocal. So I thought I was ready to then spend 2 days with historians, because the graduate student conference yesterday was titled The Aftermath. So we're all living in the aftermath. And then today was clearly a history conference. And I realized a little while ago that my relationship to, my understanding of the relationship of human rights to time is sort of inverted. Compared to the last two conferences that I've been at, yesterday and today. So this may just sound like a really terrible, cliched question for historians that you all answered before you decided, you answered for yourself, before you decided to go to graduate school in history. But I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is, why is it important that we get the history of human rights right? Why is it important for me, I'm sort of the utilitarian political theorist here saying to the state of nature theorists, it doesn't matter how the state got to be state. We don't care. The only thing that matters is what the consequences of state action is. That's what makes it a legitimate state, not whether we would have chosen it through a social contract in some hypothetical history. So I started to think back about some of the things that I've heard today, and there's some pretty good answers, I think. That have been offered here. Brad's paper I spent a lot of attention to, and Silvana's because I was commenting on them. But both of them say that it's important to understand the history of human rights because the important question to ask is who produces that history, and it is a matter of significant contestation to decide who the producers of that history are. And since we sort of absorb that history as we start planning what human rights are going to look like in the future, it would be very important not to get that wrong. And it would be important not to think that we're talking about human rights as the history of inclusion when it's really a history of exclusion. But I really am just interested in how a bunch of historians would respond to that very general question. Why is it important for the practice and the future of human rights to get the history of human rights right? That sounds like a cliche even to me, but I am an infidel after all.